You're now listening to The Festival of Football, presented by Billy Harvey and Henry Barrett.
All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Festival of Football podcast. This is episode 7, and today we're joined by a special guest. We mentioned before we're going to bring on a Chelsea fan to get his ideas and thoughts about the Champions League final. So I'm going to introduce him now. Danny Dyer, how are you, mate?
Not too bad, mate.
Nah,
thanks very much for bringing me on. I've genuinely been really excited to come on. I've listened to every podcast, and I don't always agree with what you chaps say, but I suppose that's the beauty of a podcast, isn't it?
That's it. It's about opinions, mate, at the end of the day. And of course, we're not going to agree. You're a Chelsea fan. We've got a Tottenham fan and a West Ham fan. It's never going to happen, is it? His real name is Matt, by the way. He just looks a lot like Danny Dyer. If you look at him, you can see him. He looks a lot like Danny Dyer. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. You all right, Bill? How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good. Recovered from the weekend and yesterday. I took my niece shopping and she did me for like some money in the Disney shop, shall we say. So yeah, my pocket's recovered and I've recovered.
Interesting. Well, I'm lucky. I don't, I don't live with my son, so I can save some money here and there. But they are expensive children, aren't they? But anyway, let's get on to the topics of today. So firstly, we're going to round up the final games of the Premier League. Maybe just have a look at the table as well, see where teams finished. But then also going to talk to Matt about the Chelsea game, Champions League final, seeing how his thoughts are about it, if he's nervous. I mean, he should be, but we'll see if he is. And then finally, the England squad's been announced today. So we'll get on that, our thoughts and feelings about that. There's been some dodgy names being put in that squad, let me put it that way. So yeah, let's get on with the roundup of the game. So I'll just run through them all quickly. Arsenal beat Brighton 2-0, no surprises there. Villa 2, Chelsea 1. I mean, that's an interesting one. We have to get onto that very quickly. Fulham 0, Newcastle 2. Again, no surprises. Leeds 3, West Brom 1. Again, no surprises. Leicester 2, Tottenham 4. I mean, what's going on there? Liverpool 2, Palace 0. No surprise. A big surprise, Man City 5, Everton 0. That's crazy. Sheffield United 1, Burnley 0. West Ham 3, Southampton 0. Get in there. And Wolves 1, and Man United's C team 2. So we'll start off with Aston Villa Chelsea. Matt, what happened, mate? It seems like your manager's tinkering a bit too much. He's not Ranieri, is he?
Do you know, I wasn't completely confident going into the game. You know, it's Villa's last game, you know, of the season. They've got the home fans. It's a 12th man. And for me, you know, Conte's out. Conte, for me, he's like two players. You know, he covers every single blade of grass. Mm. So I think we really, really missed, you know, Conte in the middle of midfield. We didn't play particularly bad. I think we had a few chances. Just didn't take them. And it doesn't set us up well, does it, for the weekend, which I know we'll discuss later. So not surprised, but yeah, thank you, Tottenham. Did us a huge, huge favour.
I mean, Mendy's out injured as well, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know the extent of the injury yet. I didn't watch the game. I listened to it on the radio, and I think he collided with the post, if my memory serves me right. We don't know the extent of the injury, but again, if he's out of the Champions League, he's a big name. You know, he's solid. Yeah. And Kepa, I think Kepa's a liability. I'd rather you go in up, you go and go, Henry, than Kepa. He's a complete liability.
He doesn't. Hey, I think he'll be all right.
He's not that commanding figure, is he? He doesn't instill that confidence in the back four. You can tell that when Mendy's there, the back four are more confident. They play the ball to him. When Kepa touches the ball, I panic. I do genuinely panic.
Well, I think it all went downhill for him when he refused to come off in the Carabao Cup final. That was it last year or the year before? I think that's where he went downhill.
Unforgivable. That was unforgivable. And I'll never forgive him for that. I mean, in the final, you know, gaffers and stuff make sometimes dubious decisions. And do you know what, though? But didn't we lose on fine and penalties as well?
Yeah.
I think we lost the penalties, didn't we? Yeah. So that's, if he had saved three and we won the cup, we'd forgive him. But the fact that he didn't, it just reinforces.
You know, that's it. I mean, your manager wanted to take him off because the other keeper was a penalty specialist.
And he completely disrespected the manager. You know, the manager has the final say. Like I say, you don't have to agree with decisions, but he's the gaffer. He gets paid to make those decisions, and you need to respect it. So I think a lot of fans lost respect for him on that specific day. And the mistakes since then, I mean, come on. Butterfingers, isn't he? He's made complete howlers of errors that have led to goals. And yeah,
I mean, you look around the Premier League, though, there's not really that many good goalkeepers now, is there? There's a lot of them making mistakes, a lot of them flapping at crosses and whatever else. The art of goalkeeping has gone downhill, in my opinion, anyway.
I think they have a difficult job, though, don't they? I think you make one mistake, it could lead to a goal, and that's all.
Yeah, true. You make one mistake, you don't make four or five a season. You make one or two. But no spoilers here, but getting onto the England squad, Pickford, for example, should be nowhere near that squad. But he's in there, but he makes mistakes all the time. But we'll get onto that in a bit. Bill, what do you think about Tottenham? 4-2 winners against Leicester.
It was a roller coaster. I'm not going to lie. Like, I sort of like was watching it, and then you saw like Leicester go ahead, and then we came back, then Leicester went ahead again, and then Arsenal went ahead, and I was like, oh no, we can't have both West Ham and Arsenal going ahead of us, because I think you were winning like 2-0 at the time as well, and I thought, yeah, that's game over. Southampton got nothing to play for, they're not coming back. And I was thinking, oh no, we're going to miss out on European football. Arsenal will finish above us. Arsenal fan TV will be going absolutely ballistic, and you'll be like, oh god, what have we done? And then yeah, we got an equaliser, and then I saw that Bauer scored, and it was like, oh, checking it for like VAR, and I was like, that's going to get ruled out. Like, it probably should have been ruled out as well. Looking back at it, we've seen goals this season not being given for the same.
Oh, is that for the handball on Kane?
Yeah, it was a handball, but it was like if you're going to get
rid of the ball, can I tell you why it weren't ruled out?
Go for it.
Because it was Kane. Mate, honestly. Higher profile English players or Man United don't get VAR things like that. Remember the other week we spoke on the podcast where Greenwood had a handball. Mm-hmm. His hand way up high, mm-hmm. and they didn't give it even though they checked it. It's Man United. They're not going to give a penalty at Old Trafford against Man United for that. Harry Kane is England's favourite son, isn't he, at the minute, especially with the Euros. They're not going to give a handball against him. And I guess, in a way, you could argue that his hand was next to his stomach, so it wasn't in an unnatural position.
Mm-hmm.
And you know you've got people like that argue for anything, but yeah, as soon as he hit the hand, I thought that was it. If it leads to a goal,
yeah, same. To be fair, like I fully expected it to be chalked off. I didn't think it didn't matter in the end because Bale scored again anyway, just to make sure. And it's one of those things we've seen again from Leicester. They bottled it again. I know Tottenham are supposed to be bottle job FC, but I think Leicester are slowly becoming the next one to take that title, because they've had champions. They should have had Champions League football in the last 2 years, but they've blown it again.
Yeah, well, you say that, but they're one more than what Tottenham has in the last few years. So
they have. Yeah, they have.
I still keep the point that Leicester's a big six club over Tottenham, mate. Just because Tottenham's got a fancy new stadium and loads of money in the bank don't mean you're a big six club, mate. You know what I mean?
It depends what you do it on, isn't it? If you go on like company value and like the amount of fans that we have, then yeah, we're a bigger, much bigger club than Leicester. But if you go on things that you've won in recent times, then
what fans? Leicester will be bigger. What fans? You got no fans.
We're not Man City, Jesus Christ.
No, it's not that bad.
For the Tottenham game, the big turning point was Wesley Fofana. I think when he went off injured.
Yeah.
And Mr. Johnny Evans as well, the heart of that defence. Again, it fell apart after that, really, didn't it? And I do feel for Wesley Fofana, because I think, I heard on the radio, and I think he was in tears as he walked off the pitch. Yeah, is that going to affect his Euro? Where's he from, Wesley Fofana? Is he French? Not French, is
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's French.
Yeah.
Is he in the squad for France?
I don't think so. He may have made it. I mean, he may have been one of those surprise inclusions.
West Ham were going to sign him, but he turned us down because we weren't in Europe, and Leicester was. So, you know, this season we might be able to get some players. I mean, I'm hearing reports of like 70 million plus whoever we sell is the budget that we've got. So, I mean, we could get Tammy Abraham with that. So,
yeah, well, we'll make a deal, mate. If we buy Declan Rice off of you, you can use that.
Hey, Declan Rice is not going back to Chelsea. He's not going to go back to a club that let him go. He's not going to. I'm telling you now. He's going to go Man United or Man City. He won't go Chelsea. It's like this, right? If you work for someone and they say to you, you're not good enough, and they let you go, then you go on your career and you get to a good point in your career, and that company comes back to you and says, oh, we want you back. What are you going to say to them?
If they're offering me 150 grand a week, sure, mate, I'll come back, whatever. Yeah. All you got to remember is his best mate, Mason Mount, they're best friends. They're growing up, you know, they play football since a young age. And
yeah, but mate, I don't think Mount will stay at Chelsea long. Two reasons why. You're going to get a manager in there soon that's not going to like him. Okay, he's only in the squad. Remember why he's only in your squad? Because you had a transfer ban. If you didn't have that transfer ban, Mason Mount would be nowhere near your starting 11 right now. Yeah? He's playing out of his skin at the minute. And I think if he carries on playing out of his skin, eventually he'll move on to a bigger team. The likes of Real Madrid or someone like that.
I disagree. I think he's been at the club since the age of about 5 or 6. It's in his blood. For him to walk away, it'll be like Lamps. Do you know what I mean? It'll be end of his career. I mean, he's loved by the fans. To be fair, if
you mentioned Lampard wasn't a Chelsea Academy prospect. He was from West Ham.
I know he was at West Ham. Yeah, thanks very much. Decent bit of business from us, wasn't it? But, I mean, he came in and, the fans took he's a club legend. And I think Mason Mount has got the potential to be a club legend. And
if
the gaffer comes in and doesn't play him, As a fan, I would stick with Mason Mount. I'd choose Mason. I'd make my feelings very well known that Mason, you know, he's a quality. And walk into any Premiership team.
I agree. But I think the only reason why he's in the team at the minute is your manager came in and he was the only one playing well when Lampard was there. So I think if another manager comes in, similar to like a Mourinho, if they come in and they've got their mind made up of who they like and stuff, and they start dropping. Look at Abraham. He's out your team now. He couldn't even get in the FA Cup squad. Look, what's up with that?
Yeah.
He's probably like your best striker. Yeah. I would say Werner, but he can't hit a barn door, can he?
Well, we'll get there, mate. Bill, I wanna what do you think about Bale? Is he staying? Is he going? Would you want him to stay?
I've heard he's going back to play golf.
He's gonna go. He'll go. He won't stay at Tottenham. We can't afford his wages. Like Daniel Levy won't pay anywhere near 600,000 a week. He wouldn't even probably give him 300. I mean, he'd probably give him, if he wanted Bale to stay, he would give him 100 grand a week. And to be honest, he can earn a lot more somewhere else. I don't know where, but I'd want to keep him. But the problem is that I don't think mentally he's the same player that he was when he was winning things at Real Madrid. I think, like you said, it's a bit of a joke that he goes and plays golf, but his mind seems to be elsewhere. He seems to be like...
Wasn't it Wales Golf Madrid?
It was, yeah, okay. It was. And to be fair, that's fine. I mean, love your country, but you can't love another sport more than the one that you're playing. Doesn't make any sense.
I mean, if you sell Kane, that frees up a lot of money and you might be able to get him.
Sell him.
Has he worth 300 grand a week, though? Has he performed to justify giving him 300 grand a week? Not this year, has he?
No.
But it's just like all the big names, isn't it? They're going off reputation, and that's what you're paying for. But I mean, yeah. I mean, let's get on to the best game of the weekend. West Ham 3, Southampton 0. I mean, guys, it was amazing. It started off, I was getting angry because we were playing like shitheads. We couldn't keep the ball. Southampton had like 2 or 3 chances, but they should have scored. I mean, if Walker Peters squared it to Ings, they were 1-0 up. And I'm sitting there like, crap. And if Tottenham eventually won that game and we lost, we wouldn't have got Europa League. But no, 4-0s. I mean, he does all these amazing things, but when it comes to finishing, he can't hit a barn door, as I said about Werner. But that day, he scored twice, and I couldn't believe it. The second one was the better finish. And overall, yeah, we just seed the game out. We didn't play overly good at all. Lingard again was trash. I swear to God, I would not pay 20, 30 million for him. I would say to West Ham, only pay 15 million, no higher. Because he's hit and miss, he's hot and cold. And yeah, he had these amazing performances when he came. And if it weren't for him, he wouldn't get in the Europa League. So thank you for that, Lingard. But since, I think, when was it? The Newcastle game? He's been dog shit. And it's not just he's not scoring and, oh, now I'm being a stupid fan. It's what he's doing on the pitch. I watch him week in, week out. He's not running. He's not chasing down. He's giving the ball away and then just standing there and not retracting, not trying to win the ball back. And he's like body language on the pitch as well, as if like he didn't give a shit. And I don't like that. When I see that in a player, I don't like that. And it kind of was rubbing off on Antonio as well, which I didn't like. And I just feel like them two can't play in the same team. There's only one player at West Ham that's on his wavelength, that's Bowen. But as I said to Billy so many times, Bowen's offside more than Werner. It's just not noted because it's not a big club. But yeah, I'm fucking stoked though, because West Ham got sixth. You know, next year, Europa League, definitely guaranteed at least six European games. I mean, that's amazing for a club like West Ham. But I did hear today, you know, normally in Europa League, if you finish second, you go up into the next stages, right?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, this next year, the teams that come out of the Champions League are going to play second place in a playoff match. And then whoever wins that goes through as the runner-up. You know, so the first team go through as they won the group. Then all the second place teams play the ones that come out of the Champions League. And whoever wins that game goes through as just like the runner-up in the Europa League, basically. So yeah. Then you'll get 16 teams. Because there's not... is it not 42 teams this year, is it? It's 30-something because of the Conference League. You've lost people in Europa League. It annoyed me in a way because I think, you know, it's just making the Champions League people have more... fucking chances again. I mean, so West Ham have to win their group and they're going to be like the lowest ranked team in the freaking competition because we've not been in there for a while. So we're going to get like all the mega teams.
Yeah, you'll end up in a group of death. You'll end up, because you'll be a fourth seed and you'll end up with like Napoli, a Bundesliga team, and then probably a La Liga team. Whereas,
I'll take Napoli.
They'll beat you. Like, come on. Like,
mate. You say that, yeah, but we've got players now that have actually got European football, like Suchek, Sufal. If we had a couple more of them Czech Republican players that from Sparta Prague, West Ham apparently are getting Daka, mate, from Salzburg.
Yeah, I can't see it. You'll end up signing like
I'll be happy with Adam Armstrong. I told you that last time.
That's what I mean. Like, I don't know. I mean, with the transfers, like, obviously we'll do a podcast about that transfers when the time comes around. But the thing is, I think at the moment they're saying they're going to give you all this money and all this sort of stuff. And to be fair, like, David Moyes has done a good job with the recent transfers. But when you've been in Europe before, you've signed some absolute
dominant. Yeah, but that's it. That was because it was freaking David Sullivan in charge, wasn't it? And then you had Pellegrini and his mate, whatever his name was. Yeah, we won't make that mistake again, I don't think. It's a big summer for the West Ham board. You know, they've lost faith with the West Ham fans. And if they back Moyes, there's no reason not to back him because you're getting at least 40 million from the Premier League finish and being in Europa League. Mm-hmm. And then apparently there's 20 million still left from Haller's fee. So realistically, that's 60 million. If you're not backing him in the summer, you're going to be asking for trouble, basically. And realistically, we can't afford to sell anyone because we need to strengthen the squad because we ain't got a squad big enough for Europa League. Mm-hmm. Our squad depth let us down. If we had a better squad, we could have got top four. It was only 2 points off top four, and we dropped points against Arsenal after being 3-0 up, and we dropped points against Newcastle when we got back to 2-2 with 10 men. That right there would have been enough to get Champions League football. So...
yeah.
He's
done a good job and he's earned the right to go to the owners and say, look, this is what I've done with this squad. You need to trust in me. You know, you need to. I'm Chelsea and stuff. All my uncles are West Ham and they always give me jip whenever West Ham do us over. But I am pleased for you. Lot. I am genuinely pleased that, you know, I'm disappointed for Leicester, you know, last minute, more days in the top four than any other club over the past 2 years or so. But I am pleased for you boys. You are a passionate, loyal bunch. I've been to West Ham games and Europe, if you can get tickets, Henry, mate, it's going to be an absolutely cracking atmosphere.
Yeah, I'm just worried what the board are going to do. They're going to pump up prices, aren't they? So that's what they are. That's what they do, mate. It's all about money grabbing, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose if you invest well, I mean, Leicester have invested so well. I think out of all the teams in the Premier League,
Leicester have got the best model. You look at it, yeah. They don't buy stupid, and when they do buy, they're not afraid to spend. But me and Billy spoke about it in the last podcast. You know, we said they buy young and sell for a big profit. You know, Maguire, 80 million. Kante, and then we even got down to Danny Drinkwater. I mean, you loaned him out to Palace, I think. Was it Palace? Or can't remember who you loaned him out to. Burnley. You loaned him out to Burnley, and then he got into an altercation with Daesh or something, and then he got injured, and then he got sent back to Chelsea. I don't know what he's doing, mate, but it is what it is. But yeah, so... You got top four in the end, Matt. Are you happy with that? That Tottenham did you a favour?
Of course, Matt. Of course, you know, getting into Europe affects your ability to attract big players. I know Chelsea were a big club, and we can attract big players, but we're a top four club. I know I'm biased. I'm a Chelsea fan. We're a top four club, and we, you know, to keep getting in big names, we need to be in the top four. Yes, we got in the skin of our teeth. I do consider us lucky, but you know, with on reflection on the season, getting into two finals, albeit we may lose both, which we'll get onto a bit later, but yeah, you know, I think in the position we were when Tuchel took over, we were ninth or tenth, weren't putting the ball in the back of the net, just had real difficulties letting in too many stupid goals, and we've seemed to have, you know, tightened the back five where we're not conceding as many. So yeah, overall, I consider it, considering how much we spent in the summer, it's probably above average. I put it just above average in regards to our season.
I think the best thing that you've done is tightened up at the back, because I don't think you're scoring any more or any less than what you was before, but you're not conceding. I mean, the fact that you went to the London Stadium and put 10 men behind the ball against West Ham, nicked the 1-0 goal, and then just sat there defending the rest of the game was like, to me, it was like, okay, West Ham are good this season. But also, it's the philosophy of your manager. And that's what I said. If you get a manager in that don't like the looks of a man, or, you know, because like, I don't know how Werner's getting in your team over Abraham, because he was banging in goals at the beginning of the season, Abraham.
He died off though, didn't he?
Everyone did.
But you've got to remember, it's not just about your ability as a striker to put, it's attitude. And I think Abraham's attitude's a bit questionable. And I think you have to have the right attitude. And sometimes you do fall out of favour with gaffers. And, you know, if you want to play, you need to adjust your attitude. You're not a big time Charlie where, you know, just because you've scored a few goals and in the FA Cup, you've put quite a few away. But in regards to Werner, I think he'll come good. I'm really confident. And if you look at his numbers, it's not terrible, mate. I know he's missed sitters and he could have probably had 20-plus goals. But in regards to goals and assists, he's not before. And what I love about him is his head doesn't go down. And how many players can you say misses that many chances? And that's the something about his personality. The fact that he's missing sitters, that he's had a lot of...
All I can say is I agree with you, but the one thing about Werner that I found atrocious was, I can't remember what game it was, but he played recently, and he scored with his hand, and he went off and did a knee slide and celebrated like he won the World Cup after he handballed it in the goal. He knew he handballed it. He knew that VAR is going to rule that off, but he knee slide and everything, and then afterwards had the cheek to be like, oh, fuck off, because he was ruled off. Like, come on, man, what kind of... player does that sort of thing. But Bill, you've got Conference League, mate. How are you feeling? You're going to be going to Malta and Lithuania and wherever else.
Yeah, to be honest with you, as long as we take it seriously, I don't have an issue with it. Like, it's a European trophy at the end of the day. And like we said before on the podcast, if your team's in it and you're the first team to win a new European trophy, it means something. I know it's the bottom version of the European Cups, but we should, realistically, I think there's us and Roma in it that are the best two teams. And obviously, we'll get teams drop out from the Europa
League. Villarreal as well, mate. Villarreal.
Yeah, but they're going to win the Europa League, so it's fine. They won't be in it.
That's a big shout. You think they're going to beat Man United?
Yeah, 100%. But so even if they're in it, we'll beat them. My issue is that I hope we don't do what we did to the Europa League or UEFA Cup years ago when we had Redknapp in charge. And we spoke about it before when we had Shakhtar and we put the kids out and lost and they won it that year. Yeah. If they're going to do that, then I'd rather us just decline to enter because it's taken the... If you're not going to put the strongest team out, what's the point?
I get that, but you know, I was watching another podcast. I won't give the name of it though. But I was listening to another podcast the other day and they were talking about West Ham getting into the Europa Conference. And he was saying that if we was to get that, I would send the kids because apparently, you know, chartering a plane and sending it to all these different countries costs a lot of money and there's no revenue in this new conference league. So basically you're going to be, you're going to be minus money for going to these games than actually profiting from them. So there's no point in sending, you know, if you had Kane, there's no point sending Kane there. Because what happens is he gets injured or whatever, and then on Sunday in the Premier League, he can't play because he's tired. But you're not making any money from that game because there's no... The TV... What's the TV deal? There's no TV deal for it, is there?
There is. And yeah, so yeah, the other podcast didn't do any research, which is great. So they basically, it's on the same night as the Europa League. So BT Sport have the TV rights for it. It's the only reason why the big teams are in it. Big teams, but like the teams from the bigger leagues, because they couldn't get people to watch it. I don't know. I think some of the games are on earlier, so I think some of the games are like 5 o'clock.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be a bit of shit, wouldn't it? Because who's gonna watch it at 4 o'clock if you're at work and whatnot?
Yeah, but I mean, people will watch it. Like, maybe not the group stage because there might not be that many great games. But yeah, you're probably right. You might not make too much money on it, but it's not really aimed at the bigger league teams, is it? It's aimed at those smaller teams. Like we said, 2 million to a Maltese team is a hell of a lot of money. 2 million to Tottenham is nothing, you know, it isn't anything. But
I agree.
You've got to take it seriously. Like, for me, it's a cup competition. You should try and win every cup you can because they don't come around that often.
No, not for the likes of West Ham anyway. But no. Yeah, we got Europa League and, mate, to be honest with you, at first I was disappointed that we didn't get Champions League. Because as I said to you, we haven't lost Champions League because one of these big teams turned up and went on a mega run and were playing outstanding and we couldn't keep up. We didn't get Champions League because of our own fault. We threw away the Arsenal game, the Newcastle game. Chelsea was there for the taking that game. Everton was there for the taking. We didn't turn up in all these games. And that's what's cost us Champions League at the end of the day. But Europa League, obviously, I'm delighted because we're in Europe and we're not going to be playing any qualifying round against any dodgy team like Astru fucking Gugu.
Well, you nearly had them, but they lost the Romanian Cup final yesterday. Did they lose? Or Sunday? I can't remember. It might have been Sunday, but they lost, so you can't get them anymore.
Thank God. They're like their worst bogey team than Brighton is. But yeah, no, I'm happy we got top six. I just think it's a big summer. We need to bring in two strikers and I think maybe two midfielders as well, because you know we can't rely on Noble, and you can't get Rice to play Thursday, Sunday all season long. You can't do that. So yeah, I'm just hoping that they get Adam Armstrong, mate. That's what I'm hoping for.
I think going back to your early comment about Lingard, I've been thinking about it, and I think the problem with Lingard is, I agree, I think his attitude's changed since he had those first few games, and it's similar to United. And I don't know whether his mentality changed because he performed so well. He felt like, I've secured my place back in the United squad. And that's why his performance has dipped off. And he a bit arrogant, do you know what I mean? And and I think when he first went to West Ham, he had to prove himself to even stay in the Premier League because he weren't playing at all. So again, it goes back to attitudes, isn't it? And he's a bit of a big time Charlie on social media, isn't he? And all the haircuts.
What I've heard today is Man United apparently want to keep him. So, I mean, I think Man United personally are going to try and use him to get Harry Kane. And
we don't want him. Like,
mate, you don't want him. But if you're Man United and you say to Tottenham, here's 80 million for Kane plus Jesse Lingard, Daniel Levy's going to say, you know what, that's a pretty good offer, that.
Nah. We've got one Jesse Lingard already. Is called Dele Alli. Just looks a bit different. He's the same.
Dele Alli is rubbish, mate. Dele Alli is rubbish. I don't like the hype. You know, the hype around Dele Alli is crazy anyway. As you said on the last pod, The only good thing Dele Alli's done recently is kiss Pep's daughter. So
yeah, exactly. And it's the same with Lingard. They've both got attitude problems. Like, they're too interested on how many deals they can get with Boohoo Man and how many, you know, deals I can get with JD Sports or something, rather than being on the training pitch and improving as players. So, and it shows, because they're hot and cold every week. They do just enough, so they're okay. They're like, okay, I need to play well for a few weeks because the Euros is coming up.
Well, this
and
then
they dip out again. So it's,
we'll speak about the Euros in a minute, but for me, Jesse Lingard shouldn't be in there, but we're getting to that in a minute. Okay, Matt, so let's get on to the Chelsea game, Champions League final on Saturday. How are you feeling about that, mate?
I think, listen, look, you need to enjoy these experiences, do you know what I mean? You need to, the build-up, I mean, coming on here, talking about it, seeing the updates in the news, creates an excitement, you know, an excitement amongst Chelsea fans. And I'm looking forward to it. Look, if we get turned over 6-0, I'm not particularly going to enjoy the day, but I'm going down to London. There's about 20 of us going to local boozer. We actually watched a 2012 final when we did Bayern on penalties. So it's good things. Hopefully I'm having a bit of deja vu and I'll be standing on the table throwing Stella all over the boozer. That's what I'm hoping. My shirt above, mate.
What is it with London lads and standing on tables? I've done that in pubs before as well.
Oh, I don't know, mate. I don't know what it is, mate. I've got told off by the barmaid, though. Got an absolute bollocking. And I'm watching it, actually, with one of my mates. We watched the 2008 final together.
Wow.
John Terry. Oh, it gives me nightmares, that does. But we're watching it together again. So, no, look, I think if we've got Conte's fit, if Mendy's fit, I think we've got a very good chance. You can't forget we've turned them over the last two games. We've done them in the FA Cup and we resorted them to one chance, one attempt on goal. And is that heard of against Man City? So if we turn up on the day, I genuinely think, you know, in the FA Cup, yeah, I mean, Alonso's final minute goal was a little bit lucky, but you need luck to win finals. And you look at form and stuff, and yeah, they've won the league. But when it comes to finals, form goes out the window, doesn't it? And it just matters who turns up on the day.
That's it. I mean, De Bruyne didn't play though, did he? The two times on about. De Bruyne.
He did. No, you're right. I can't remember if I'm honest. I think he missed one game. He definitely weren't playing in one game. But
I know he weren't playing in the league game recently, nor was Foden, because they put out a second team, didn't they? Or was that the FA Cup? One of the games, anyway. But I think the main thing is for Chelsea to win that game is that you've got to have the players fit that you've mentioned, Mendy, Kante, they've got to be in the team. You've got to defend well, but you've got to... Werner's got to be on it, let's put it that way. He's got to have a good game.
I'm going to stick a bet on it. I think I'll put Werner to score. And you've got to remember, we've been there twice before. As a club, we've been in these finals, and that does mean a lot. We know how to deal. I mean, although we've lost quite a few finals in the past few years, and we've been described as bottle jobs and stuff like that, but we've been there. We know what it takes.
There's only one club that's known as bottle jobs, and that's still Spurs. So you ain't got to worry about that. There's a whole thing. It's called Spursing it up. So, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. But, you know... I need to remind myself, and I keep pinching myself, just to enjoy it, to enjoy the occasion. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you guys, obviously, you're both in Europe, whether it's in the Europa or Conference, and it's, you guys would love to be in my position right now, where you've got a game to look forward to. It's the final of the Champions League. We need to enjoy it. We need to play well, give a good account of ourselves. Whether we win... Man City are favourites. That could work in our favour. Yeah, but like I said, I think Conte, I'm really interested to see if he's fit, because he is like two players. When he's on his day, I mean, he is unplayable. And I think I would go as far as saying he's the best midfielder in the world, but definitely defensive midfielder.
Yeah, definitely.
We bought him for 30 mil, didn't we? 30 mil from Leicester.
It won a lot.
Absolute bargain for what he's done for the club. And I'm wearing an older Chelsea shirt today, but I'm going out at the weekend to buy the new shirt, and I'm going to get Conte in the back, number 7.
Wait, that new shirt is disgusting.
It's like
they didn't know what design to have, so they just started doing all different designs everywhere. And then there was like, oh, you know what? Let's just have that shirt. That's fine.
Well, I don't know. How do they decide on shirts? I mean, does it go? I personally, as a fan, albeit I'm not a season ticket holder, so any, you know, anybody could vote. I'd like, it must go through to some sort of voting system where fans can vote on a variety of shirts.
What? It should be that way, but it's just like Adidas make the shirts. That's how it works. And then they just give it to the club. I mean, they might have focus groups, you know, where they have people look at them, but nowadays, I think these big brands are just make, because that's why they all look the same. I remember years ago when West Ham got to the FA Cup final, we were made by Umbro, Man City were made by Umbro, and the kits were basically the same, just different colours.
I think
you're in for a tough night, mate. I think you're going to need a lot of beer to get you through that game.
And I know, Bill, you said on previous podcast you think it's City's to win as well, haven't you? So I know that's when I was shouting at the phone. I was like, oh, it's not fair. He's a typical Tottenham fan. He's just saying that because he hates Chelsea. But if you look at the last two games, we've played really well against them. We've turned up. We turned them over.
That's the saving grace that you've got, is that the last two games, you had a game plan and it worked, but it also could work against you. City could now know what you're going to do. And you can't go out there and say, do you know what? Let's just go forwards, backwards. And whoever scores the most wins. You can't do that with City. So if City know that you're going to sit back and defend and counter-attack, Pep's not stupid. He's going to... I reckon he'll probably start Fernandinho and Rodri because he knows that you're going to do that counter-attack. So he'll keep them two there to stop it and he'll just bomb Walker down one. Who's the left-back from City?
Yeah, that's it.
Bang the wingers down the wings and just keep them two sitting. So if you do break away, he's got the game plan because you know Pepe's done that before. But as Billy said in the last podcast, he does overthink sometimes. And he did that last year with Leon. Mate, I'd say it's a 60-40 game.
I agree with you, mate. I agree with that. Those numbers, I do. I mean, in terms of Fernandinho and Rodri, they're not the most agile of players. And I'll, you know, put Conte in there, you've got Mount in there, Pulisic. They'll ring, if they're on their game and they turn up, they'll run rings around them. But yeah, I think getting top four, I think that's alleviating a lot of the pressure off of us. So that could work in our, but it could work in our favour. It could work against us. We've got top four, so we haven't really, we're playing for the Champions League, but, you know, it's not the Europe we're playing for as well, which could be an additional pressure. So, again, I think the starting Conte, and I keep screaming about him because I think he's that good of a player. I think and Mendy as well. We'll have to keep an eye out on the fitness.
Mendy changed my mind. I didn't rate him until I saw him perform against Real Madrid.
Yeah. I remember you texting me saying I don't rate him. I'm like, are you watching the same keeper as me? He's quality.
Yeah, mate, you changed my mind. I'm up for changing minds. You know what I mean? And if my opinion is it's not solid, you know, it's based off of different things and information. And he changed my opinion, so at least I can admit when I had a wrong opinion.
For me, I still think, and you're probably going to kill me for it, and my partner's the same because she's a Chelsea fan to the point where her middle name is Chelsea. So it's like all of her family are they're all Chelsea fans. So it's like I still think it's Man City's final to lose. But saying that, I don't think it's like an 80-20 or anything like that. I think it's a lot closer. So like 60-40 is probably right. And I think it's gonna depend a lot. And if Kante doesn't play, then City have won, in my opinion. I mean, I could be very wrong, but if he doesn't play, I think City win. But then again, like we've seen Pep last year, he gave too much respect to Leon. And their best player is Memphis Depay. So it's a bit like, if he overthinks it and he kind of wants to be a bit too technical about it, it could go Chelsea's way. I think the big thing in the game is going to be whoever scores first. Because I think if Chelsea can score first, you stand a better chance. Because then it's going to force Man City to come at you and you can hit them on the break with Werner's pace, with Pulisic's pace.
But will he play Pulisic?
He has to. He can't not play him in that game. He's too important. Like we saw what he did.
Played him in the other games, mate.
Yeah, but it's cost him in the end, isn't it? Really, I think personally, like the team he put out in the FA Cup was what was he doing? Like it was stupid. But
disrespected Leicester in a way and the cup.
No, I don't think he disrespected. I think he did a Guardiola, didn't he? He overthought it, and I think if you're coming up against Man City, They've not got the quickest centre-back. So you've got someone like Ruben Diaz, who's got good positioning, but he's not the quickest. And then you've got John Stones, who's slow, but has got good positioning. So if you've got someone like Werner and Pulisic, because Walker's going to bomb on, Zinchenko's going to bomb on. And like you said, Rodri and Fernandinho are not that mobile. So if they've got to cover the gaps left by the fullbacks, they're not going to be able to handle the pace. And it's only and Chelsea have a lot of pace. That's the main thing that you've got in this game against them, because Man City could pass you off the pitch, like, and then they could get to anyone. But if you can nick an early goal, then I think it forces City to come at you, and they're not going to want to do that. I think they'll end up strangling the game. I don't think it'll be a great game to watch. I think they'll come out, they'll be possession hungry, and they'll try and break you down that way.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping for the game's sake that Chelsea get an early goal and we see a better game, because if they don't, and Man City score first, I think they'll just strangle the game and win it from there.
Yeah, that's pretty fair.
Yeah, you go back to who scored first, and yes, I know Man City didn't play a particularly strong side, but Man City did go one up just before half time in the semi final of the FA Cup, and we did respond to that, and it's another sign of our mentality that we can respond to that. Yes, I know. I mean, we're saying second squad, but let's be fair, the second squad's still a very, very, very
strong side. Matches, though. You ain't got a bad side by any means. So, like, on your day, your squad's good enough to beat Man City's first squad. It's just how you play on the day. I think, personally, it comes down to Kante and Foden. Who plays the better on the day can impact the result. Because I think...
Yeah.
I think now, and this might be controversial opinion, but Foden's more important for Man City than what De Bruyne is, because everyone knows what De Bruyne can do and they know how to stop him. But Foden's still this like unknown identity. You don't know what he's going to do. So I think on the day, whoever comes out on top, if you don't play Foden on the wing, if he plays Foden in the middle, whoever comes out of top between Kante and Foden, I think for me, is going to be on the winning team.
Yeah, I agree. I think Foden, he gets better every week, doesn't he? He's improving. He's quality, but yeah, quality player. But
do you think he's going to be the next English guy to win a Ballon d'Or?
I think we've got to be careful, haven't we, about the pressure. He's still young. Putting pressure on his shoulders, and
yeah, you can see potential. I mean, if Michael Owen won a Ballon d'Or.
Yeah. I think he's up there.
Let me throw this at you, Matt. If Chelsea crash out at the Champions League final, they lose it, and you've barely scraped Champions League next year, do you sack your manager?
Are you asking me as a fan? Are you asking me what I think is going to happen?
I'm asking what your opinion is. What would you say if you was Roman Abramovich and you had all his money?
I'd keep him, mate. I personally would keep him. I think he's done a fantastic job in a very short space of time. I think we'll probably need to give him a transfer window. And, you know, Roman Abramovich has had his critics in the past, but he does spend money. We can't complain about how much money he spent, $250 in the summer. Yeah. So I think give him a transfer window. Let him you know, build his own squad and then reassess it in a few months' time. But in regards to, I mean, look at Di Matteo. He won it, didn't he, in 2012? Yeah. He still got sacked.
Yeah.
He's brutal. He's very brutal. He's a winner. I want to keep him, but whether we will,
I mean. So what's your score predictions?
You know what? One player we haven't mentioned is Aguero. And I think it's built for him, isn't it? It's built for him to bow out. Score the winner, you know, he's still a quality player. I think, you know, I don't think he'll start. He potentially will. He might have earned a place over the weekend because he come on and scored two, and he's beaten Wayne Rooney's record for single goals for a club now, isn't he? But I think I'm gonna have to go with my boys, isn't I? I think it's gonna be 2-1 again. I think it'll be a 2-1. It'll be tight. Potentially even win it an extra time. I've got 2-1 Chelsea, extra time, Werner to score the winner.
Hey, Bill, what do you think?
I'm going to stick with Man City, but I think it will be the worst Champions League final we've ever seen. And I think it'll be like 1-0. And I think they'll score like 65th minute. And it'll be, I think this will be the worst Champions League final we've ever seen.
Worse than Inter and Porto?
Much worse. It'll be, for like the neutral fan, I think it'll be the most boring Champions League final you will get.
Yeah, mate, it'll be like 6-5 now you said that.
I hope so, because I want to see goals, but you never know.
You know what? You know, it's going to go over one or two ways. It's going to be a tight game, like you said, and Chelsea are going to nick it, or City are just going to run wild. But I think City's never been in the Champions League final, and I think the occasion's going to get to some of their players.
It could do. And I think another factor...
I'm going to say 1-1, and City are going to do it on penalties.
One other factor I haven't considered is that my partner's never seen Chelsea lose. She doesn't watch them often, I'll give you that, but when she watches, they've never lost. So if she decides to watch it with me on Saturday, I might change my mind.
Mate, don't let her watch it. Let's quickly move on to the England squad. Did you see that it's been announced?
Yeah, and it's a strange one. Like, he's picked 30 players. He can't have 30 players. He can only have 26.
33, and he's only allowed to take 26, so he's got to lose 7 of them. But I'll run through them first, and you can give me your reactions to it. So the 4 goalies he's picked, Dean Henderson, Jordan Pickford, Sam Johnson, and Aaron Ramsdale. I mean...
How can you pick Aaron Ramsdale?
I know Pope's in.
How?
Pope's injured.
I know he's injured, but you can't pick him. His team got relegated, and they're one of the worst teams in Premier League history. You can't. You can't.
He's not going to go, though, is he? He's the one that's going to drop out.
He shouldn't even be in the squad. Like, they should just look. I know it says a lot about what English goalkeepers we've got at the moment, but how can he's the worst goalkeeper in the Premier League by far? Like, you can't pick him, because what happens if he goes? Say, for example, he goes, right? He's the third choice goalkeeper. Pickford gets suspended and Henderson gets injured. He's in goal. And it's a quarter final, and you're like, oh, brilliant. We've got Sheffield United's goalkeeper who's let in like how many goals this season?
Yeah, I get that, mate. But if Pope was in the team for me, Pickford won't be going. For me, he's only got in because freaking Pope got injured.
No, he's the only sweeper keeper we got, so he's going
to
play.
I don't care about sweeper. He's not sweeping, he's meant to save.
Yeah, but it's the way...
As I told you, the only thing Pickford does is he picks the ball out of the net. He can't catch. He's good with his feet. Then play in defence. Play in midfield. You're a goalkeeper. Save first. That's the thing. And he comes out with a weldy save every now and then. But he makes these errors all the time. And he's like a Lingard. He's a Billy Big Bollocks. He thinks he's the best. And he's not. Sam Johnson's better than Pickford.
Again,
consistently.
Another relegated goalkeeper. Like,
yeah, but he was better than Ramsdale.
Anyone's better than Ramsdale. I mean, like, it's just, it says a lot about the state of goalkeeping in our country, doesn't it? That two of the four are relegated.
Mate, I should come out of retirement, I think.
We need something.
What do you think? Sam Johnson and Aaron Ramsdale, they've only got into the squad because both of them have made the most saves this Premier League season. And yes, you can look at the clubs they play for, so they're expected. They're going to have more shots against them, but that's probably why they've got in. But yeah, Jordan Pickford, butterfingers. Dean Henderson had a good season last year, didn't he? He's not been the same player this year, has he? Has he played much?
He's played for Man United a bit, yeah, but he's rash. He makes really rash decisions. That's why it's a big blow. That for me, it's a critical thing that Pope's not in the team, because now we've not got that certain goalkeeper that can save us when we need it. But yeah, we move on to the defence. Trent has squeezed his way in there. I don't know how, but he has. Maguire, Mings, Trippier, Walker, Cody, Chilwell, James, Godfrey, Shaw, Stones, and Ben White.
Godfrey?
Mate, everyone's raving about Godfrey like he's the next coming of Mandini or something.
The thing is, they've been playing too much Football Manager with his bloody 5-star potential and like not actually looked at how he plays in real life.
Hey, I've not noticed anything special about him this year. I mean, Everton fans watching week in, week out, so they can tell us more. But I get why he's put Ben White in there, because he's a ball-playing defender. He's just like Maguire, he's just like Stones. And I get why he's in there, but he's not going to stay. He's going to be one of the guys that he throws out. Mm-hmm. Godfrey's it's a weird one. I mean, you've got Ben Chilwell and Reece James. I mean, I personally don't think you can take James and Trent. Because for me, Trippier has to go. He just won the league with Atletico Madrid. You can't have Premier League bias. If you've just won your league title and you played the majority of the season in that team, you have to go to the Euros. That means you're in form. You know?
Does it mean you're in form?
Yeah.
The club's won it, but you don't have to be... I know he has been playing well, but I don't know if it's... I would take Reece James over both. I think his physicality is perfect for his position. You got his dead balls and his assists. He can whip in a dangerous ball. His free kicks,
yeah.
Win well in the air. He's strong.
You know, I would take Reece James as well, but I personally would not have Trent in there. The reason why Trippier still goes is because Walker plays a centre back as well. So because you've got extra picks, you've got 26 picks. Walker will play as a right back / centre back, and then you take two further right backs. So it would be James and Trippier that I would take. I wouldn't take Trent just because he's done something the last couple of weeks doesn't mean he's done everything the rest of the season. But yeah, I mean, Maguire, I don't even think he's going to be fit. So that's going to touch and go.
I think the thing is as well that if you look at the centre backs, if he plays four at the back and Walker plays right back, there's no pace at centre back. Harry Maguire's, my tortoise is quicker than him.
Like, Tomori's not even in the team.
That's the problem. Tyrone Mings has got decent pace, but he's not quick. And the thing is, if you're coming up against France, their front players are rapid. Like, Harry Maguire is going to look like he's running backwards if he's chasing Mbappe. He's got no chance. And I think
I agree with you, but I think with Mings, he's the only player that's left-footed, and he gives us that natural balance of a left-centre-back with a left foot. And I think that's why he's in the team. I think Southgate's going to play three at the back, and he's going to be the left-sided centre-back because you need a left-footer in that position because he goes out to the left-backs.
I agree. And you've got to think about his height as well in both boxes. He's what, 6'3", 6'4". He's good in the air. He's a threat. He's useful in both boxes. So I do think he'll be starting.
Yeah, I do as well.
Yeah, Mings is fine. That's a perfectly good centre-back. But I think if he's going to play the four, which he doesn't normally play, then you've got to have Mings and Stones. You can't have Maguire and Mings. I don't.
Based off this team, Bill, he's not playing four at the back.
He's going five. Yeah, he's going to play the same system we had in the World Cup. But what you have to realise in the World Cup is we had a good draw.
Yeah, we were shit.
We got very lucky.
We should have got to the final, mate. And they showed a replay the other day of Harry Kane when he should have passed to Sterling. I must have been pissed at this point. I didn't remember that.
Yeah,
I was in Cape Verde at the time, so I was on holiday and I was watching it there, and there was loads of people, like loads of English people there, and we were in the little hotel resort thing watching it, and then Kane didn't pass, and I was like, I swore, yeah, we've lost, and some bloke looked at me and was like, oh, you're talking nonsense, and then we lost, and I went, was I? Like,
mate, do you know what I need to ask you based off of that? Who goes on holiday when the World Cup's on?
I booked it because I thought England would crash out earlier.
You can't do the holiday.
So we booked it and my partner was like, can we go this week? And it was like the week of the quarterfinals. I was like, yeah, England, we'll be out by then.
Yeah.
And then we wasn't. And I was like, oh, great. And then literally the semi-finals, we booked to go and see some turtles. So I missed like the extra time. And then I had like a really smug Norwegian man sitting next to me going, oh, England are out. And I was like, did Norway even make it to the World Cup? Like,
They've not even made it to the Euros, even though they've got Haaland.
The thing was, he was sitting there so smug, like England have gone out, and I was like, "Where are you from?" He was like, "Norway." I was like, "Oh, that says a lot, then, doesn't it?" Like,
yeah. We move on to the midfield. You've got Jordan Henderson again. Is he going to be fit or not? You got Jude Bellingham. Mate, I told you he had to go. I knew he would go. Mason Mount, Jesse Lingard. Okay. Now, Jesse Lingard should not be in his England team. If you're going off of who's on fire and performing well in a minute, Joe Willock has to be in this team over Jesse Lingard. You've scored 7 goals in 7 games. You've just equaled the Newcastle record, the same as Alan Shearer, and you're a midfielder. and you're English and you're not going to the Euros. You're having a laugh, mate. I don't care about what he's done before or whatever. Joe Willock is the most informed midfielder for England at the minute. As I just said, 7 goals in 7 games, and he's not even made the provisional squad. Now, I'm not even an Arsenal fan, but I just think that's a joke. And you put Jesse Lingard in, as I've said earlier, as a West Ham fan, he's not done it. He's not done it the last 4 or 5 games. But once again, it's the name value. Southgate said he weren't like that, but clearly he is. You've got Declan Rice, Kelvin Phillips, and James Ward-Prowse. I think
I agree with most of them. Going back to your comment about Jordan Henderson, he may not be fit, but he's going for his experience. Maybe he's been there before. You know, he's quite. We hear Liverpool talk about how powerful his voice is and how much of a leader he is. So that's potentially one that's probably what Gareth Southgate's thinking. Jude Bellingham, I think he's. We're talking about the next English player to win Ballon d'Or. Oh, I think he's up there. Yeah, when I've seen him play, he's been absolutely. Absolutely mustard, unbelievable player. And Jesse Lingard, I agree, Jesse Lingard, Declan Rice, and Calvin Phillips. I just hope you don't play them two together. So I think that's.
He will. If Henderson's fit, Henderson's in. But if Henderson's not fit, it's Rice and Phillips all day long.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think Ward-Prowse is. He's done well this year. He's got me a lot.
He's got to go for set pieces, mate. I mean, if we're 1-0 down, 70th minute. You bring him on, because if you get a free kick, corner, he's going to whip them balls in, got decent delivery. Or if you know it's going to penalties, you bring him on, because he's a penalty kick. You know, he takes penalty kicks. You've got to bring him on. The forwards is Harry Kane, Marcus Rashford, Jadon Sancho, Raheem Sterling, Ollie Watkins, Foden, Saka, Grealish, Greenwood, Calvert-Lewin. Now, please, if you disagree with me, tell me, but how has Calvert-Lewin got in this team?
Agreed.
Yeah.
Don't deserve, I think at the beginning of the season he was banging them in, but he's gone missing, hasn't he? He's gone absolutely missing. So that's very questionable for me. The others you can sort of understand. Jack Grealish, is he fit enough? He's been out for 2 months.
I think he's played enough games for Villa now. I think he's all right. I think Saka's in there because he's versatile. He can play near enough all over the pitch. He can play right back, left back, wing back. Midfield, winger. He can play everywhere. So that's why Saka's in there. And he's a good player as well. Watkins, I think he's in there just to make up the numbers. I think he'll be chucked out. I think personally, Greenwood's a star for me. He's the most natural finisher we have after Kane. And if Kane gets injured, I think Greenwood goes up front. Not Calvert-Lewin or Watkins or anyone else. I think Greenwood goes up front. If you need someone to score a goal, I trust Greenwood more than any of the other strikers. But I look at it, I think he will drop Greenwood. I don't think he'll take him. I think Rashford's lucky to get into the squad. I mean, other than the things he did for the kids and outside of football, he's not done much on the pitch this season. So that's another one. But a player I think's unlucky and he's missed out here is Patrick Bamford. Now, I know he misses a lot of shots. I mean, he lost a lot of chances, but he scored a lot of goals. I think 17 goals in all competitions he scored. But at least put him in the provisional squad. See what he does in the friendlies. In my opinion, he's a natural finisher. Whereas Calvert-Lewin, I think, would need 5 or 6 attempts to score. On his day, Patrick Bamford will score two out of them chances. Whereas I don't think Calvert-Lewin does, but what do you think?
Calvert-Lewin's like he's like a Emil Heskey regen, isn't he? He scores some goals and then goes quiet. And he had a great start to the season, but since then he's done nothing. So I don't know how he's got into the team if you're picking players on form. But again, it shows that we don't really have depth in strikers that can score. I mean, I'd rather take Ivan Toney than Dominic Calvert-Lewin. I know he plays in the Championship, so you can say the level is a lot less than the Premier League, but he scores like 30 odd goals a season. So,
yeah, and he's got that spite. I watched the interview he did in the playoffs the other day, and he's got that spite about it. And they were saying, "Oh, you look so cool under pressure," and he was like, "I don't feel pressure." And I was like, "Do you know what? That's what England needs." Something like that.
The thing is, though, like Southgate will play Rashford, Sterling, and Kane as the front three. That'll be his front three.
Mate, Sterling's lucky to get in this team. Honestly,
he on his day though, he is quality. I know he's not had the best form, but he is our best winger, like in terms of ability. Maybe not in terms of form, but in terms of ability, he is the best.
Yeah, I think Grealish is better than Sterling.
Have you been smoking 20 fags again?
I think Sterling frightens defenders because of how quick he is and how agile. I think you're right. I really think Bamford really, really unlucky to miss out on the squad. If you're going back to Harry Kane not passing in the semi-final of the World Cup, Bamford is one of the most unselfish players you'll come across. Yeah. When his mentality and his attitude when he comes in interviews, he's so calm, he's collected, sometimes you need that calming figure in the squad. And if I was Bamford, I'd be asking, what do I need to do? I've performed this year, finished what leads at 8th or 9th. He's got goals, and what else does he need? What more does he need to do to prove himself? And that's what I'd be asking myself if I was Bamford.
I think it's a joke. Some of the picks he's picked are just, it's the same thing, picking players for names instead of form. If you've gone with, I get you have to pick certain players even if they're out of form. I get that he's put Maguire in even though he could be injured, and Henderson. I get that. I agree with that. But picking Rashford when he's not done it, Calvert-Lewin doesn't deserve to be in there. As I said, Pickford doesn't. But I mean, personally, everyone's going to have different opinions, aren't you? I mean, if you've got a player at your club, you're going to want him in that team. And if he's not in that team, you know, that's why Liverpool fans can't understand that people don't want Trent. I mean, it's not Liverpool, it's England, you know. You've got to stop being biased. Trent has not been good enough. And I would take Ward-Prowse's delivery over Trent from set pieces. The only way Trent gets in this team is if he plays in midfield, because we need defenders at right back that can defend. Wan-Bissaka should have been in this team, but he's not.
Wan-Bissaka?
Wan-Bissaka is the best defensive right back we have.
you're on something now, mate.
Have you not seen the tackles that he makes, like last ditch tackles?
You see how many times he gives the ball away.
It's not about giving the ball away. It's about the defending. Like Trent, we can take Trent. He's going to whip balls in. We could even get goals from it. But when we come up against France and we come up against Portugal, Trent's going to get caught out. Yeah? Reece James is going to get caught out. Kyle Walker's going to play at centre-back. Guarantee it. So he's not even going to be at right-back. So that's why I would have took Wan-Bissaka, because he has got the pace to get him out of the dangerous situations. The other players don't have it.
Reece James is quick, mate. Just remind you. He's quick.
You look at the FA Cup final. Yeah, he played Reece James at right centre-back. It didn't work. Vardy still was impactive in the game. Like Leicester still won. Like Reece James was probably the best player on the pitch, but
I just want to point out as well, there was a handball in the build-up, just to remind you boys as well.
There was.
I'm not making excuses, but there was a handball.
His hand was here. You can't give handball if his hand's next to his stomach.
Well, we were talking about the Kane incident earlier. He said the Kane, his arm wasn't in a natural position. That were your words, Henry.
I'm saying to you that Kane one would not have been given because it was Kane. It should, by law, his hand, it should have still been given as a handball. The Leicester one should have been given as a handball, but it wasn't because it was a big final and they didn't want it to be, it hit his hand when his hand was literally by his stomach. Because naturally, when you block it, I'm basically telling you why the referees didn't give it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not agreeing with it. I think it should have been handball because that's what has happened all season. I mean, Declan Rice had a goal disallowed last year because it hit his hand when he was running through. So they've changed the rule, mate. But yeah, I mean, that'll be it. We will wrap the podcast up there. Thank you for coming on, Matt, and giving your perspective of Chelsea.
Thanks for having me, lads. It's been enjoyable. I'd love to come back on once we do Man City.
Mate, you can come back on again wherever you want, anytime. I mean, I don't know if we're going to do City, but it's going to be a tight game. It'll be a tight game indeed. I think, you know, I just like it because, you know, when Chelsea don't do well, you go quiet. when they do well, you're texting me all the time. And as soon as they start losing, it's like, you've dropped your phone down the plague. Where are you, mate? I can't. Matt, are you there?
Don't worry. I'm going to be having a few beers on Saturday. So you'll definitely hear from me, mate. Don't worry about that. Especially if we win.
Well, do you reckon we're going to do right in the Euros?
No, if I'm completely honest. I think you haven't got enough squad depth. I think it's brand new to you boys. I think you do all right when it's, you know, when it's at West Ham and in your back garden, because the atmosphere is going to be mental. But no, I don't think you boys are. I think it's a bit too early for you.
Well, all I can say is it depends on the summer window, what he does in the, who he brings in. It's who he brings in. But yeah, well, thank you for joining us, Matt. And Bill, thank you again, mate. And we'll be back again next week at some point. And yeah, until the next one, it's a goodbye from me and a goodbye from them both.
Cheers. Goodbye.
See you on the next one.
Lads.
You've been listening to the Festival of Football podcast, presented by Henry Barrett and Billy Harvey. We'll see you on the next one.